Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. News out today is that the Boulder District Attorney has cleared the Ramsey family of guilt in the murder of their daughter, JonBenet Ramsey. Now, the evidence is DNA evidence that is new. The report is that this DNA evidence comes from the child's clothing, and it matches previous DNA testing from the child's panties back in 1997, and it is from a male. Now, we have covered this extensively, and it is a cop-out for the Boulder District Attorney to say that this is significant or that it clears the Ramsey family. And we'll just review this briefly. If you're interested in reading the Bob Enyart Live case report on the Ramsey murder, you can find it online at shadowgov.com, shadowgov.com, G-O-V as in government. And we'll be posting this from our website, KGov, KGOV.com, later today. But the tragic story of the murder of this young girl, there's a few key pieces of evidence that tell us that the parents were involved and responsible for her death and then their attempted cover-up. And the key phrase in the bogus ransom note is this. Supposedly an intruder came in. That did not happen. But an intruder came in, got JonBenet Ramsey out of her room, brought her into the basement, molested her, and then murdered her, strangled her, hit her over the head, strangled her, and killed her, and left a ransom note that he wrote inside the house. And he started to write a ransom note. Then he gave up on that one, and then he wrote another ransom note. And in the note, this would have been 1, 2 in the morning, with John and Patsy Ramsey upstairs in bed, and he supposedly wrote, "I advise you to be well rested." And then he gave the time that he would be calling in the morning. And it turns out that the Boulder detective who was there on the scene realized that John and Patsy Ramsey seemed to have no interest whatsoever, that he said he would call them by 10 o'clock in the morning. And 10 o'clock in the morning came and went, and the Ramseys weren't even looking at the clock. They were not even wondering why he called, and Patsy Ramsey pointed out clothing on her daughter's dead body that she said came from outside of the house, and it turns out Boulder detectives tracked down a receipt from Bloomingdale's that Patsy Ramsey herself had purchased that clothing. And the key that breaks the case, the clue that breaks the case, is that phrase, "I advise you to be well rested." And we'll talk about this in about a week. We'll go through our entire JonBenet Ramsey file. And since that is in the news, an unjustified claim that DNA evidence clears the Ramsey family, it's back in the news, so we'll talk about that in about 10 days from now. But right now, I want to get an update from Kentucky on the Creation Museum, and astrophysicist Jason Lyle is on the phone with us. Dr. Lyle, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Jason, we've interviewed you over the past years just occasionally. You've been out to Denver to speak at Denver Bible Church, but could you give us an update on how is the Creation Museum doing?
Oh, it's doing very well. We have a lot of people come through every day, and people seem to really enjoy the experience. And the museum keeps, for lack of a better word, it keeps evolving. We keep keep getting more and more exhibits, and it's just really something to see.
That is exciting. The last time I was there is, you know, being a talk show host, I get the opportunity to get around the country, and I've been there now a couple times already. And the last time was with a group of, over couple hundred people. We spent the day, flew in, flew out, and it was tremendous. That was just a few weeks ago. But, Jason, it seems like the museum was packed, and that when you guys originally estimated how many people the museum should be able to accommodate, you underestimated. What have the numbers been?
Yeah, well, we were expecting we'd have about 250,000 visitors come through in the first year.
Right.
And in fact, we've had 400,000 visitors come through in the first year. So it's been an overwhelming success, and they just keep coming in. In fact, the numbers this summer, I understand, at least at the beginning part of the summer, and I regret I haven't checked the last few weeks to see how we've done,
right.
But for the early part of the summer, they've actually been higher than the previous summer, which is kind of amazing because we thought when we first opened that would be our biggest hit.
Right.
But they just keep coming. It's great.
It is great because there are Christians all over this country, and in fact, I know they're coming from around the world, who are so thrilled to see scientists and serious-minded believers take a hard look at God's Word and the world around us, science, and see that the two tell the same story of our Creator.
Well, that's right. And we've had a lot of people come through that say that this museum really has been long overdue. People are tired of going to museums where they see, you know, some good science, but they see it mixed in with evolutionary storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And here at the Creation Museum, we tell the truth about origins, and we show people that good science does line up with what God has said in His Word. And
mm-hmm.
how could it be any other way, given that God is the one that created the universe and has given us the tool of science?
In the Creation Museum, it's just a few minutes south of the Cincinnati Airport. Is that right?
That's right. We're just an exit or two down. That's right.
From the Ohio-Kentucky state line.
Yeah, we're really close to all the three states, right in the tri-state area there. So Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. And we're actually in the Kentucky area.
And it's within a day's drive of, what, about two-thirds of the population of the U.S.?
That's right. And that's one of the reasons that we located it here, because people sometimes ask us why we put it in this location. But it's very centrally located, so mm-hmm. two-thirds of the population of the U.S. can get here in one day.
So, Jason, we've talked about the Creation Museum on this program. We're on the air 5 days a week, and we have a favorite feature we do called Real Science Fridays with the webmaster from Creation Research Society, Fred Williams. But it's been a while since people have heard on this show what they could learn and experience at the museum. So could you just give us an overview? So many reporters and journalists from America and around the world have come, and probably the most famous image from the museum is right in that wonderful lobby as you enter.
Yeah, the lobby is beautiful, and when you first walk in, you see dinosaurs. It's beautifully sculpted by Buddy Davis, who also does some music for us and does some speaking as well. And we also portray them. We have some young T-Rexes over there playing with children, and that's meant to kind of shock people.
Yeah.
Because people have been taught that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago and didn't live with human beings, of course. And so immediately we're showing people that, wait a minute, when you start from the Bible, you get a different view of history. You get the correct view of history. And the Bible teaches that all the land animals were created on day six, the same day as human beings. They did indeed live together. In my opinion, that's one of the most beautiful areas of the museum, is right there in the lobby when you come in.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so fascinating is, it seems that we have scientific study, report after report, finding after finding, that has a general theme. And for example, the soft tissue T-Rex that they dug up in Montana, Montana State University, fits in with this theme that they are finding inside of fossils, inside of amber, inside of bones, soft tissue, bacteria, DNA, protein molecules, things that supposedly would have been formed in animals tens of millions of years ago or even longer. And these biological molecules, they can't possibly stay intact for millions of years, and yet there they are, even a find of soft tissue in a T-Rex thigh bone.
Well, that's right. Yeah, evidence of soft tissue, evidence of blood cells and such, all kinds of evidence like that, and much of that we present here at the museum. Another one that I like is the fact that we find C14 in just about everything that has carbon in it, and no matter how deep down in the layers that you find that. That may not get people jumping up and down, but it should, because C14 can't last even 1 million years.
Okay, now, Jason Lyle, you're an astrophysicist. You got your degree right here in Colorado, is that right?
That's right, University of Colorado in Boulder.
Up in Boulder, CSU, and so you understand scientific dating better than maybe the average person in the audience, but carbon-14 dating, while so many public school teachers even have said to me, I've been on the air for 17 years, and I ask them, how do you know the Earth is, you know, billions of years old? And they'll say carbon-14 dating, and I get a smile on my face, because theoretically, carbon-14 can't even last 1 million years.
That's right. There's a big misconception there. In fact, the method that the secular scientists use to try and establish the billions of years is not carbon dating at all, but other methods like uranium lead and rubidium strontium and so on.
Right.
But no, carbon dating is our friend, and it always gives young ages, even on things that evolutionists believe are millions of years old, like coal and even diamonds that are supposedly over a billion years old.
Diamonds and amber and natural gas, and everywhere we look, it seems, where we find things that are supposedly tens or hundreds of millions of years old, we're finding carbon-14 in diamonds. In diamonds, where if they are millions of years old, there should be no carbon-14.
That's right. And those are some of the facts that people get exposed to at the Creation Museum, facts that they're not likely to get exposed to at other museums in the world. That's why this museum is so necessary.
Yes. And you guys also have a beautiful magazine, Answers Magazine. And I have here in my hands the issue from earlier this year, the special astronomy issue.
Mm.
And Jason, you were involved in the creation of this issue. And thank you for your work. We've gone through this at our home with our children. We homeschool our boys. And there is evidence, not only with soft tissue T-Rex and bacteria that is living, that it comes back to life. It's supposed to be millions of years old. It's actually alive. And not only carbon-14 in these things that should be millions of years old that should have none, but there's evidence in our solar system that it's young and not billions of years old.
That's right, and we have even an article in that very issue that you mentioned of Answers Magazine. And by the way, I should just tell all your listeners, Answers Magazine, it's a wonderful family magazine, full color. It's really beautiful, and it's going to really be faith-affirming for them, so I really encourage them to get that. They can get that through our website if they like it at answersingenesis.org.
Answersingenesis.org. And we get, in fact, I think we get two copies of this sent to our home each time. It's a quarterly. Mm-hmm. And we practically fight over it. I have now, of our young boys, our 8-year-old and 10-year-olds are addicted to our Creation magazines. My wife and I love to look at them, and we bring one into our church. So I encourage people to sign up for Answers Magazine, get a subscription. But yeah, how about this article about the heavens declare a young solar system?
That's right. In fact, I have the issue right here in front of me. I just
30,
take a look at it here.
Starts.
Page 30. Yeah, and that's when we had, Ron Sanek, I thought that we'd had him do that. He actually speaks at Bob Jones University. He's a professor and a friend of mine, and he did this wonderful article showing that there's evidence on the moon, there's evidence from comets, and various other things that the internal heat of Jupiter and Neptune, for example, that indicate that the entire solar system is much, much younger than my secular colleagues would say that it is. And these are evidences that most people are not exposed to. You're not going to find this stuff in most secular astronomy magazines. You're not going to find it in Sky and Telescope. You're not going to find it in most secular museums.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we think we need to get this information out there. And that's the purpose of the museum. That's the purpose of Answers Magazine. And I was really honored to get to work very heavily on the special astronomy issue that we had a couple issues back. I have several articles on that one myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just a wonderful resource, and I really hope that it's a blessing to people.
All right, so Jason Lyle, the Creation Museum just south of the Cincinnati Airport, people could come by. They get a 1 or a 2-day pass, and it really is a place where the family members of all ages will love it.
I think they really will, and we've had a lot of positive comments about it. Make sure that if you come, make sure you see the planetarium. That's the exhibit that I did a great deal of work with. That we have a number of different shows that are playing in that as well. The Created Cosmos, for example, takes you universe and back.
Jason, we purchased the DVD of the Created Cosmos.
Oh, good.
Because my kids have not been to the museum yet, so I brought that back. And in fact, my wife and I went out there just a few weeks ago, and our kids have watched that now twice through, and it fills you with awe for our Creator God.
And that's what it's supposed to do. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that. People have said, I feel very small. And I said, well, you should feel that, but you should also feel that God is very big, and that God that created all of that cares for you and died for you and rose again.
Mm.
And that's powerful. And so that's the message that I wanted that program to convey. And yes, they can get it on DVD. I actually took the planetarium show and converted it to flat screen so people can get that. And I even put a director's commentary if they want a little extra information about their universe.
Yeah, extra features. And then the planetarium itself, this is a state-of-the-art planetarium.
Yeah, it is. It's a Digistar 3 SP2 digital projector. So it's not your old grandfather's planetarium with the light, you know, the little ball in the middle and the little light pinpricks and so on. No, this is digital. Anything we can do on a computer screen, we can now do on a dome, which means we can travel virtually out into space, and we take people to extrasolar planets. We take them to a globular star cluster. We go out to the edge of the known universe and then all the way back into the Creation Museum. And it really gives you a feel for just how astonishingly large our universe is.
Yeah, and how great and mighty God is in the brilliance of his design. So no matter how tiny a view we get inside a DNA molecule, and we even go smaller as physicists look into subatomic particles, and then you come way out from that perspective, and you get to where we human beings are comfortable, and then you go beyond us to the solar system, the galaxy, and the universe. And you see the care that God put into giving us a place to live and get to know him and worship him.
That's right. And, you know, people have asked me, why did God make such an incredible range? Why did he make the universe so incredibly, unimaginably big?
Right.
Why, you know, as if it were hard for him to do that. You need to understand that with an infinite God, it's not a problem to make the universe any size he wants to. And what he's doing is he's just given us a small taste of his incredible power.
Of his greatness.
That's what I wanted to come across.
Yeah, and Jason Lyle, Dr. Jason Lyle, astrophysicist with Answers in Genesis, God made the universe for one reason, because he enjoyed it. He's a creator. He made something like, you know, my brother builds things. He's a contractor, and he likes to see the work of his hands. Well, God is like that, too. And to us, the universe is unfathomably large, unsearchably large, but to God, he did it, and he enjoyed it.
That's right, and I think he also enjoys it, too, when we enjoy that with him, when we take a look at it and praise him for what he made. It's such a shame that there are brilliant people out there who refuse to acknowledge their creator. They take a look at the universe, and they give glory to the universe rather than the creator of that universe, something that the Bible speaks about in Romans 1. And that's a shame, because God made that to glorify himself, to declare his glory, the Bible tells us in Psalm 19:1 and other places. And that's why we wanted to be fitting here at the Creation Museum and honor God for what he made.
Later this year, when we come to Thanksgiving, unbelievers have quite a problem, because somewhere inside of them, they do, almost virtually all human beings at some point have a desire to be grateful and to thank, but then they don't know how to finish the sentence.
Yeah.
They want to thank something for the sunset, for the flowers, the fruit, the harvest, for their life, their grandkids, and they don't know what to thank.
That's true. That's true. And they a lot of times will end up trying to fill that God hole that God made in them with things that God made. They're replacing the glory of the Creator with creation.
Jason Lyle, we just got a call, someone asking how could he get back issues of Answers.
Yeah, if they go to the website, I believe that they can get back issues on the website. So go to answersingenesis.org. And there, if you click on the store link, you can go to, and then there's a magazine sublink, so you can go to that.
We got a tour, sort of a back lot tour in the museum, and we saw the warehouse and the equipment that you guys have just to be able to fulfill just the magazine subscriptions and
yes.
The books and the DVDs. It seems to us, Jason Lyle, at Denver Bible Church, we have our elder meeting. And once a year, we take an assessment of the health of the body of Christ. And at the top of the list for some years now, the shining star of the outreach of the body of Christ and the edification of the members of the body is the Young Earth Creation Movement.
Mm.
That is the place. And right next to that is the Bible-based homeschool movement. That is the place where millions of people are finding out that, yes, there is a God. God's word can be trusted, and Jesus Christ will save us from our sin and give us eternal life if we trust in him. We cannot express enough our gratitude to you, Jason, Ken Ham, everybody at Answers in Genesis, what you guys are doing to equip us to share the gospel with unbelievers.
Well, thank you very much for that encouragement, and that's something that we pray that we're praying that this nation will be called back to the authority of the Word of God and the world in general. We want everyone to submit their thinking and their life to God, not that God needs it, but we need it. We need to be saved, and that's really our goal. We're very evangelistic in our outreach. It's not about just converting people to creation. We want to see them won to Christ.
That's so exciting to us. And last thing I'd like to mention, Jason, while you're on the line, is I know that Ken Ham has written an article or two and recommended people, and we took his advice, and we went to see that fabulous documentary in the theaters, Expelled, Ben Stein's Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Mm-hmm. You've seen that, I imagine?
Yeah, in fact, I got to see a preview of it. They actually had the group come out here and show it to us, just a few of the staff here. I was very impressed with the documentary.
Yes.
Now, obviously, they take a little different a position than we do, but nonetheless, I would encourage people to see that, to get it when it comes out in DVD as well. It's a wonderful documentary.
It is. And Jason Lyle, I'm involved with a group called American Right to Life, and that group put out a press release titled Expelled, Go to the Movies, and they held a movie marathon where some of their members attended every showing of that movie on opening weekend. 18 showings in one weekend, back to back. And I was one of the ones that saw all 18. So I really know that movie like the back of my hand.
Wonderful.
That documentary. And Jason, you know what's fascinating? The first half of the movie, they're describing the intelligent design movement. And they're saying that the intelligent design movement is scientific, but it's not claiming that there's a deity, a personal God. They're just saying there's evidence for design. And, of course, that's a far cry from biblical Christianity and salvation. But what was so fascinating is that the second half of the documentary was fully invested in trying to convince people that without a foundation of a belief in God, individuals fall into despair and societies are ruined.
Well, that's right. I mean, God is the foundation he needs to be the foundation for all of our thinking. And when people reject that God and they try to fill that spot in other ways, if they try to build their foundation on anything other than God's word, well, it's just shifting sand. And Christ, of course, gives us that analogy in Matthew 7, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stand on biblical authority, because nothing else can possibly save rationality, morality, science. All of the things that we take for granted are all based on God and his revelation in his word, and to some extent through nature as well. All of this presupposes the biblical God, and without him, we're reduced to foolishness.
All right, last question for Dr. Jason Lyle. Dr. Lyle, some years ago I heard you address a question as to some Christians who don't study astronomy, astrophysics. They wonder about the claimed size of the universe. We know it's enormous beyond our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people will think, well, perhaps it's infinite. And you gave an easy-to-understand answer to why we believe reasonably that the universe is not infinite.
There are a number of different ways you could answer that, and I would not be totally dogmatic on that, but I'm kind of curious as to what argument I gave. One argument you could give, though, is the fact that God counts the number of stars and calls them all by their names, implying that there's a finite number of stars.
That is a great biblical argument. You also said that if there were virtually an infinite number of galaxies, the night sky would be white.
Yeah, well, there is what's called the Olbers paradox. Now, my secular colleagues do have an explanation for that, and I would say that, let me put it this way, if the universe is infinitely big and infinitely old, which, of course, very few people would believe that,
right,
then the night sky wouldn't matter where you look. Eventually, your light would intersect a galaxy. Now, my secular colleagues would say, but the universe isn't infinitely old, and so you can only see out so far. But another equally possible solution to Olbers' paradox is that the universe is finite, and I think that's probably a better solution. I think in terms of Occam's razor, it's a simpler solution and therefore more likely to be correct. The galaxies, I think, end at some point. I believe that there's probably a sort of a spherical arrangement or quasi-spherical arrangement of galaxies, with our location being somewhat central. And that may sound old-fashioned, but I don't see any evidence against that, and I do see some evidence at least for that position.
Jason, and I said last question, but one more question.
Go ahead.
Do you think the evidence is reasonable, as some claim, that when we look at galaxies and their redshift, there seems to be a quantized spherical arrangement of galaxies heading out from the Milky Way?
Yeah, I do. I think there is some evidence to support that. I've not been dogmatic about it because I kind of want to see more confirmation of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does appear that galaxies have preferred distances from ours, and not just our galaxy, but from our location within our galaxy. So it puts our solar system at a rather special position, which, of course, is very contrary to Big Bang models and any kind of secular model, which would say we're just another planet out there.
What is that term, isotropic, they use? Where
isotropic would be the same in all directions.
And that's not what we're finding.
We find that, that we have sort of a, it's isotropic in the sense that north and south and east and west look about the same.
Right, right.
But we do seem to have a preferred position in the universe.
That you wouldn't find if you were somewhere else, it'd be different.
Right, that's right. If we were at a different location, you would not see these spherical rings. It's kind of like we're in the middle, and there's a sphere surrounding us, and a sphere surrounding that one, and a sphere surrounding that one, and so on. And if you move it, if you move it to the edge of one of those spheres, it no longer works. You can't get a sphere surrounding us anymore.
It's pretty amazing. It is. Dr. Jason Lyle, our God is amazing. Thank you for your work at Creation Museum and Answers in Genesis.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for that encouragement.
May God bless you. Okay, let's go to Garden City, Kansas. Dean, real quickly, you're on with Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, yeah, this is Dean. Quite a few years ago, a man named Dr. Sweeney came to our church.
Yeah.
And he was with the Apollo program when they sent a little car up there to pick up the rocks.
Okay.
And he said when they come back with the rocks and they tested them, it proved that it was less than 10,000 years old.
Okay. Now, I don't know that. I've been studying creation science, Dean, for about 30 years. And I'm not sure what that might be referring to. So,
well, he was with the Apollo program, and the little car that they sent up there, my wife's uncle was the one that designed the antennas on there.
The lunar rover, was it?
Yeah. He worked for Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Los Angeles.
Well, that's really exciting, Dean. And there is evidence, there's overwhelming evidence that the Earth is less than 10,000 years old. The Bible says that God made the Earth and on day one, and then on day four, he made the stars. And so we know that our star in the universe is less than 10,000 years old. Hey, Dean.
Yeah, Dr. Sweeney said that, of course, when they tested that, they wasn't going to let us know about it.
Okay. Dean, thank you for calling in. We're out of time. May God bless you. We'll check into Dr. Sweeney for you. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a wonderful school. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we really need your help. Please call us or go to our website, kgov.com, to help out.